The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
As in the last two shiurim, we have concentrated on Parshas Bereishis. I'm going to take the liberty this evening of continuing with Parshas Bereishis. Last week we spoke, it was Per Gimel, Vanocha Shoya Orum Mikol Chayes Hasoda Asher Osa Hashem Elokim. The serpent was the wisest, most cleverest of all the animals. And he said to the Isha, Af Ki Omar Elokim Leseichel Mikol Eitzagon. Did Hashem tell you that you should not eat from any of the trees of the garden? But Tamar Isha la Nochosh. So the Isha, the woman told the serpent, Mipri Eitzagon Echel. We can eat from the fruit of all of the trees. Umipri ha Eitz Asher Besechagon Omel Elkim Leisechel Mimenu. But from the tree which is in the middle of the garden, Hashem said, we shall not eat from it, and we shall not touch it. Pentamusum, lest you will die. Vayomar hanochosh, and the serpent said, Ela Isha to the woman, lay mais tamusum, you will not die. Now there's a story behind this story. Rashi brings the Medrash, which says, she said that Hashem said that we shall not eat it and we shall not touch it lest we die. She added to the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only that you should not eat it. He didn't say you shouldn't touch it. He didn't say if you shouldn't touch it, and he didn't say if you would touch it you would die. But because she added, you add to his tzivuim, to his commands, you will come to make them worse, to take away, eliminate them. Husha Ne'amar, and this is what Shlema Melech King Solomon said in Mishlei, Al-Tesef, Al-Devarav, do not add to his words. The serpent said, Lema Istabusun, you will not die. Dochva Achenogabai, he pushed her until he pushed her up against the tree. Omar lo, and then he said, Kishem Shein Misa Benegia, you see, you're touching it and you're not dying. And just like there's no death in touching, Kach Ein Misa Ba'achila, so isn't there no death in eating. So through this, he was able to make a dent in her defenses. Now, we see a principle from here. Al Tesef Al Devarav, do not add to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commands. And we see what can come from this. The Achrayim, our rabbis, go into this. Who added to the command? She never heard the command. It was Odom HaRishon, the first man that heard the command. So who's the one that added? The Sifsi Chachomim, he learns that Odom, man, added to the command. Kodesh Baruch Hu told him that you shall not eat from the tree. When he told it over to his wife Chava, he told her, you shall not eat from the tree, and Hashem said that you shall not touch the tree. And if you do either, then you will die. So he's the one who added. But that's a little difficult, because Rashi brings the word Hasifa, she added. And according to this, he added. If we look in the Medrash itself, which is the source, there it explicitly says that she is the one who added. In the Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Yutes, Os Dalet, Toni Rebchia, Shalotase es hageder yesa ala ikur. You shall not make the fence more important than what's in it. Shalayipel b'yiksay sanatiyas. In order that it should not fall, or you shall not fall, it shall not fall. you'll make a churban, you'll make destruction. Kachoma HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ki b'yem acholchu mimenu, that when you eat from it, you will die. V'hi le'omro kein, and she didn't say that when you eat from it, you will die. Elo oma lekim le'seich l'mimenu v'le'sigu. She said to the serpent that Hashem said you shall not eat and you shall not touch it, pentamus, unless you die. Kiven shara esa everes lifnea es. When the serpent saw her next to the tree, metola, he took her, v'dachvalav, and he pushed her against the tree. Omala halemisas. He said to her, you haven't died. So the serpent said to her, just like you did not die by touching it, you will not die by eating it. So we see from there explicitly that she is the one who said. Yet it's a little difficult, because how could she add on to the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when she never even heard the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? She only heard what Adam told her. At any rate, the Sifsei Chachomim and others, they have to neglect this kasha. And they have to say that no, it really was Adam. He was the one who added. He told her, Hashem said, you shouldn't eat and you shouldn't touch. And because of that, this brought about this problem. Now, we see that when you add to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words, what can come of this? Shlema Melech said in Mishlei, let's look at the entire posuk. It's in Mishlei Lamed, posuk Vov. He said, Al Tosef al Dvorov, do not add to his words. Pen Yichiach Becho, Nich Softo. Lest when it's clarified that you are adding, it's proven that what you're saying is not what he said, you will be caught lying. This is what Shlema Melech said. Now, what is all important here is the smichus, the closeness of the psukim in which Shlema Melech, King Solomon, writes. The posuk before, hey, he writes as follows, Kol imras eloka tzrufa, mogin hu lachesi boi. All of the statements in the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are tzrufa. Tzrufa means, if you take gold and you purify it over and over to the point where it becomes the most purest it can become, and there's not any foreign element in it whatsoever, that's how the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are. All of the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are perfect, are refined and purified to the ultimate, where there is nothing in it, absolutely not anything which might be of alien nature. Mogin hu lachosim bo, and therefore they act as a great shield and as a great protection for those who seek refuge in him. Now we understand better what Shlema Melech is saying. Al Tosef al Dvorav, therefore, heaven forbid, don't add to his words. Because when it will be clarified that you've added and it's wrong, it'll be kezev. You are taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pure and perfect words, and you are making falsehoods and lies out of it. An example would be, you have a great world artist. He makes the most beautiful, perfect picture. And someone comes along and he says, look, I think that I should add a little color here and a little color there. He messes it up a bit, like a Rembrandt. What's he going to do? He's going to ruin the picture. Or you take one of the masters of music and creates a world famous symphony. Another person comes along, a layman, and he says, look, I think we should adjust this here and adjust this there and so forth and so on. What did you do to that great symphony? You just ruined it before it was perfect. Now it's full of imperfections, of falsities. This is what Shlema Melech said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words are perfect. They don't need any improvements from you or from us. And any improvements, supplements or additions or subtractions from us is going to destroy it. It'll destroy it because no longer will it be that ultimate of perfection. So, this is what happened. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, don't eat from the tree, otherwise you'll die. They added, don't eat from it or don't touch it, otherwise you will die. They distorted, destroyed the perfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command. They destroyed the world. Before then, people lived in Gan Eden. They did. There was no visa, there was no death to the world. Now they turned the whole world upside down. So this is what the sages are telling us. Now, and this we can ask a question now. We see our Chachomim, sages, they always add to our Kodesh Baruch Hu's words. Many times they add and many times they take away. We have all of the Gzeiros and the Achokas and the Takonas. We have their decrees. We have so many times they make a Archoka, the Torah said this you shouldn't do, and they came along and said even this you shouldn't do. So they're saying Le Teicha Ve Le Sigu, Torah said you shouldn't eat, we're saying you shouldn't even touch. This is the Takonas, the Anhogas. Not only do they do this all of the time, but this is they're mechuyev, they're obligated to do it. How do we know? It states Vishomru Es Mishmati. Torah said, according to Baruch Hu said, you shall guard my Torah. So they would make all types of laws guarding the Torah that you shouldn't come to break the laws of the Torah. We have a Mishnah in the beginning of Masechta Avos. The Anshei Knesset Agdola said, Asu Sigil Torah. Make a wall around the Torah in order that you shouldn't come to desecrate the Torah. So why all of a sudden are we saying that you shouldn't do this? You shouldn't add to the Torah? This is simply what Adam was doing. The answer to this is the Rambam asks this question. He asks this question in Hilchos Mamrim. Can you give me the last volume of the Rambam, please? No, the other side, the other one. Yeah, thank you. Perek Beis. First, he's telling us all of the laws regarding the power of the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, the great courts, to make these takonas and gzeiros and decrees. In Aloha, hey, he says, Beis Din shenira lehen ligzo gzeiro leisakein takona oi lahanik bindik tzrichin lishashiv bedova ilei dat chila imrei vatzibu yochein lamed behen. That when the Sanhedrin makes a decree, they have to deliberate very carefully to make sure that the majority of the community of Klal Yisrael can live with such a decree. They can't go just going around making decrees or making new prohibitions or creating new obligations. So they have to deliberate very carefully. Can't impose on the tzibur, on the community, whatever you think you should impose. Im ein yechelen lamed, if they can handle it or not. Ula elam ein geizering zera al tzibur and kein reva tzibur yechelen lamed bo. Ula elam, they never have a right to make a decree unless the majority of Klal Yisrael can live comfortably with it. Hareshe gozru bezding zera. What happens if the Beis Din, the great court, made a decree? The Dimusha Reva Kol Yechen Lamedboy, and according to their assessment, it was something that the majority of the community could live comfortably with. The Acheshe Gozrua, Fikfakua Ambo, Beleposhta Reva Kol. And after the decree was made, there was a resistance by many. And they said, we don't want this. It's too difficult. We're against it. And v'leposhta b'revakol. And this decree never spread throughout the majority of Klal Yisrael. Harei ze b'teila. So the decree becomes bottle, becomes null and void. even though they had already made it. And they have no power. They're not in power to force. They're always in power to force the nation to adhere to their laws and their decrees. But in such a case, they have no power to enforce. So not only they're not allowed to impose such halachas, but even if they did, and it was found that the majority of the tzibur could not handle with it, they could not deal with it, then it's retracted. It's patela. It becomes bottled. The fact is, they don't even have to retract it. It seems like it becomes null and void by itself. But then he goes into that. Actually, then in the next halacha, he goes into that if it needs retraction or it becomes bottled by itself. But the Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah brings many such cases. One case it brings is by the Chachomim. They made decrees on a number of things which we're not allowed to eat, even though they're kosher. If, for example, they're made by goyim, by non-Jews, vinasakum, cheese, which are made by non-Jews, unless there's a supervision of Israel, or in some cases you need the Israel to make it, wine, and so forth. They made such a decree also, which we don't even know about. I mean, most Jews don't even know about it. Mishcha, they made a decree on oil, that you're not allowed to use oil that is made by a non-Jew, even though we know it's kosher. The reason why we don't know about it is because this decree was not poshto the Rei Yisrael. This was a decree which the majority of Israel did not accept, and therefore it became bottled. It was retracted. Another such instance is Pas Yisrael, that they made a decree that bread, even though you know it's kosher, you'll have a supervision, but if it's made by non-Jews, you're not allowed to eat it. This also did not spread through Klal Yisrael, and it became bottled. It was retracted. So at any rate, here the Rambam is going through the halachos of the empowerment of the Bote Dinim of the Sanhedrin, of the great courts. Now he asks the question, this is in Halacha Tes, Perik Beis. Ve'il v'yesh lebezdin ligzo v'leas o'dover amutar v'yamei disure lederes v'chein yesh l'nahati isetele l'fishol. Since we see under proper circumstances the Bezdin has the authority to make decrees and make prohibitions, even though something might be permissible in accordance to the Torah, and they could make this a prohibition for generations, and the same, they can permit prohibitions in the Torah temporarily. So zeshe zira Torah leisesi v'lof v'leisigro minan shalei lehesi v'al divrei teva v'lei ligroya mehen v'kvei adov v'leilam v'dov v'shu minatera v'im b'teri shebiksab v'im b'teri shebalpea. So this, that the Torah says that you're not allowed to add to the Torah, you're not allowed to take away from the Torah, this seems to be contradictory. So the Rambam says it's not a contradiction. Says in the Torah that you're not allowed to cook a goat in the milk of his mother. This is the halacha, this is the law of Bosi v'cholav, that you're not allowed to take meat and cook it in milk and eat it. And this is a Torah law. Now, this refers though to the meat of an animal. What about the meat of a fowl, of a chicken? That's mutar min haTorah. Min haTorah, that would be permissible to take the meat of a chicken or of a bird and cook it in milk and eat it. The Bezdin HaGodol, though, for reasons that they saw that being permissible, people are liable to become confused and say that just like this is permissible, therefore the flesh of other animals are also permissible to cook in milk and to eat. So they laid down a prohibition. And that's why we do not eat bosa v'chol of milk and meat, even if it's from a fowl. In yasur bosa ha'ef, v'yemei shehu bechlal hagdi But if the courts will say that to cook a fowl in milk is the same as cooking the meat of a goat in milk, and the Torah forbade it, then they will transgress the prohibition of leisesif, of adding to the Torah. Avlim Omar, that if they will say that besar eif muta min haTorah, that the flesh of fowl is permissible according to the Torah to cook in milk and eat it, but we are the ones who are saying that you're not allowed to. And they make it known that it's only a decree from the rabbis, from the rabbonim. And the reason in order that problems shouldn't arise and people will learn if it's permissible that other flesh is also permissible, then this is not adding to the Torah. And this is what is allowed, and not only allowed, but this is they're obligated to. Ein zeh meisif, ela eise siyog letorah. This is what is known as a siyog letorah, building a wall, a protection around the laws of the Torah. Mishmati, guarding the laws of the Torah. So what is the Rambam saying? The Rambam is saying very simply, you cannot falsify the Torah. If the Chachomim come along and they prohibit something, and they tell you that the Torah prohibited it, this is a falsification of the Torah. And this they would be transgressing a very, very severe commandment. Leisesif and leisigro. Do not add to the Torah, do not take away from the Torah. And this is what happened here. Adam told Chava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you shouldn't eat from the tree, and if you eat from the tree you'll die, and because there is such a great danger that I am telling you don't even go near the tree, that's a different story. You're not falsifying the Torah. But if you come and you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you shouldn't eat from the tree nor should you touch the tree, and if you do you'll die, this is a falsification of the Torah. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words are perfect, this is a destruction of the Torah. So, and therefore, any Bezdin or any rabbi will come and tell you this is prohibited. And they'll tell you, because the Torah prohibited it, and it's really only the Chachomim or only Hiwa is telling you not to do it, even if he has justified reasons to tell you not to do it, he would transgress the Losesif. He would transgress this commandment. And that's why it's very, very important to know exactly what is Hashem telling us and what are the Chachomim telling us, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded to enact such takonas and gzeiros. This is why, for example, when it comes to Yantiv Sheni Shel Golias, for example, that we keep a second Yantiv here in the Golos, a second day Yantiv here in the Golos, even though the Torah only commanded us one day. We're not allowed to say that this is a yantif min haTorah. Heaven forbid. This is a yantif min Rabbonim. The Chachomim commanded us in this yantif. And they made it very clear. Another example would be when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar, not only the first day, but the second day yantif. We cannot give the impression that the blowing of the shofar the second day is min haTorah. The Torah commanded us to blow the shofar one day, not the second day. This the Chachomim have commanded us. Or, for example, we take the lulav and sukkah 7 days. In the Torah it says, "V'lakachtem lachem b'yom harishon," that you take the lulav the first day, not 7 days. It says, "Usmachtem lifnei Hashem shivas yomim." You shall rejoice before Hashem for 7 days with the lulav. But it says, "Lifnei Hashem," before Hashem, and there the Gemara darshins that's in the Beis Hamikdash. There's a Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos that learns that's in Yerushalayim. See, but otherwise it's only a law of the Chachomim. So it has to be made very clearly. Otherwise, it's a falsification of the Torah. The same, for example, if Rosh Hashanah or if the first day Sukkot falls on Shabbos, we do not blow shofar, we do not take the lulav. Now there, heaven forbid, you should tell anyone that if Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, you don't blow shofar. This is what the Torah says. The Torah doesn't say that. The Chachomim said that. They had a right to say it, because they said if we're going to blow shofar or take the lulav, it could be that we're liable to carry it in the Shabbos. So they're protecting Shabbos, and that's their obligation. But they have to make it clear. This is not Torah law. This is laws midrabbonim. So this is your distinction. And this is where Adam failed. The Maral in the Guraye is not happy, though, that we're neglecting a kasha here, a difficulty, when the Midrash says, Omro, she said, she added to the Torah. You see, the way we're learning now is that Adam added to the Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu told him, don't eat, otherwise you'll die. He told her, don't eat or don't touch, otherwise you'll die. But the Medrash says that she added to the Torah. If that's the case, she only repeated over what Adam told her, so she didn't add. Therefore, he says a different explanation, which is very deep. He says, really, she added. Kipshuta, I like the simple sense. But how could she add? She never even heard the tzidui. Adam told her, kihilkaso. Adam, the first man, told her just like he was supposed to. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, don't eat, otherwise you'll die. That's what he told the Isha. Don't eat, otherwise you'll die. She started to think about this mitzvah. Why shouldn't one eat? And if they eat, they'll die. And she did not understand this as a mitzvah Hashem. She rather understood this that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling us that this tree is a mazi godl, carries mavis, death. This tree is a tree of death. Because b'yom ha'chol kol tamusum, he said, when you eat, the day you eat, you'll die. So she did not understand this as a mitzvah, a chet. She understood this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's warning them, this tree carries death in it, and it's a great mazik. It's a potential that has enormous potential. And therefore, she came to the conclusion that if eating from such a tree will kill, so then touching such a tree also will damage someone. It will have to damage a person. It would be, for example, if someone tells you, don't go near this plant. Don't eat this plant. This plant is poison. It's a good logic to say, don't eat it, don't touch it. Maybe you touch it, it'll penetrate your skin and it'll also kill you. That's how she understood by herself what this mitzvah was. And therefore, she told the serpent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that we're not allowed to eat, nor we're not allowed to touch, otherwise it can cause death. Now, what did she do wrong? She was meisif, she added to the commands of the Torah, of Hashem. Not that she added words, like in the other interpretation. She didn't add words. And she didn't add boundaries. She added in the interpretation of the mitzvah. And by adding in the interpretation of the mitzvah, in the reasoning of the mitzvah, she not only came up with a false reason, but she built from there false halachas. This is something very deeply sane and very important. You see. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, don't eat. This is his mitzvah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us don't eat something, it's not for us to say why, unless he tells us why. It's not for us to say it'll damage us, it'll be mazik us, it'll cause this, it'll cause that. Heaven forbid. And then build up a mountain of halachas. It means don't eat. Touch, he didn't say anything about touching. Therefore touch. She came along and she tried to second guess, to interpret HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words. He said don't eat because it'll kill. This means this is a plant that can kill. If it's a plant that can kill, if you touch also it possibly can kill. Therefore don't touch. And through this brought Korban to the world. She fell into the serpent's hands. The serpent came along and he says, it's not true. Here, touch. Now nothing happened. So nothing will happen if you eat. It's not a Sama Moris. It's not a tree of death. Now what the Maral is saying, unfortunately this is common practice by many, many people. And the Maral goes to great length at this in his Sefer Tiferes Yisrael. He said, we have no reshus whatsoever. We have no permission. Permission was not granted to us to give interpretations to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs unless he gives the interpretations. He says, many give the interpretations. For example, they said when it comes to kashrus, nevelas, you shouldn't eat nevelas because it can poison you, it can be mazik you, and so forth and so on. And you shouldn't eat the behemoth tamei, you shouldn't eat an animal, you shouldn't eat chazir. Chazir is terrible for you. She says, I'll ask you questions then. Morris says, the Feirish, in the first parak of Kulim, it says, when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael and conquered the land, Boti Malayim called Tuv, they found houses there that were full of all good, and they were allowed to eat everything in it. Afilu kasrei dachazerim, afilu bacon. That's what the Gemara tells us. When they captured the spoils of Eretz Yisrael, even if it was bacon from a chazir, from a pig, they were allowed to eat it. He says, but you said chazir is poison for you. How were they allowed to eat it? Or, for example, he says, you have to shecht. What's the difference between an avela and a kshera? A kshera is where we shecht it properly. The avela is where it wasn't shechted properly. The Gemara says this. What's the difference between a proper shkita and not a proper shkita? Kimole chut hasaro, the width of a hair. You have to shecht the majority of the kona, say, the reshet, majority of the windpipe, of the food pipe. If you shecht half of it, it's an avela, it's not kosher. If you shecht the majority, which means a fraction, the smallest fraction, over the half mark, then it's kosher. So what is the difference between a kosher shkita and a non-kosher shkita? He says, k'mo lechut asara, the width of a hair. So the Gemara says, why should that make a difference? Makes a difference. One all of a sudden becomes something that we cannot eat and the other we can. Ela mitzvah Hashem srufa. This goes into the perfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has nothing to do with our reasoning. Maybe a little example of this would be a little example if you would ask a world master, again a Rembrandt, or a world master of music, what's the difference if you use this note or that note? Is there a real difference? And he'll say, you're just showing your ignorance. He says, you can ruin the whole symphony. But this is 1,000 times more. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So who are we to mix in? And this is why we have all types of halachas like that. We have a halacha that if you have 3 pieces of meat that become they become mixed up, and 2 are kosher and 1 is non-kosher, many times they all become kosher because we go after the rov, we go after the majority. But you're eating, you could be eating non-kosher. We have betel berai, betel b'shishim. If you pour in some non-kosher mixture into a kosher mixture, and there's enough in the kosher mixture where you can't taste the non-kosher anymore, you can eat it all. But if you eat it all, you certainly are eating the non-kosher also. These are the halachas, these are the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is why we have same thing by Shabbos. Shabbos, you're supposed to rest. You can work all day. This all of the Kamenim bring this, the early Rishonim. You can work all day moving furniture from one end of your house to the other. 24 hours during Shabbos. Not transgress Shabbos whatsoever. Min HaTorah. And you will be so unrested and knocked out at the end of Shabbos. On the other hand, you can carry a little package. You take a ring and carry it from your house one step into the public thoroughfare. And the person can be, would have to bring a called mechatis. He could be responsible for the death penalty. Where did you rest and where you didn't rest? And we have literally hundreds and hundreds of cases like that. And that's why the Torah's Kahanim says, Rashi brings this at the end of Kedoshim, Al Yemaro Odom Nafshi Kotz B'Chazir. Person shouldn't say that, oi, he says, I can't stand Chazir, or Nafshi Kotz B'Klaim, I can't wear this, I can't stand it, it's wool and linen together. Or there's a one gear, so either I could never marry a sister or a daughter. It says Al Yemer, a person is not allowed to say that. Elakach Yemer, this is what he's supposed to say. Chazir is good. I'd like to eat it. Shatnez, why not? You can make some of the best suits out of it. Marrying close relatives, why not? Avul ma eseh, but what can I do? Avinu shebishamayim osro alai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us not. Since we've doubted him, you have to do mitzvahs because of his commands, not because of my logic. When we say, oh, I can't stand this, that you're going with your logic or your feelings. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you have to do mitzvahs because of my feelings, because of my commands. And another such example, you take a mikveh. A mikveh has a keach hatahara, it has a power to be metahia, to purify. But you need a certain shear, there has to be a certain measurement in it. If it's lacking a few ounces, or 1 ounce of the proper shiur, no longer can it purify. Actually, this was this what we're speaking about here. Also, this is what happened here. That she added, but she didn't add to the quantity or the quality. She added to the reasoning of it. She said that if the Almighty has commanded us that we shouldn't eat from the tree, because the tree has the power of death, then logic demands that you shouldn't even go near the tree, or you shouldn't even touch the tree, it can also kill one. Then she fell into the hands of the serpent. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech said, Kol Imras Elei Kai Tzrufa, all of the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are the ultimate to perfection. If he said you shouldn't eat, that's exactly what it means. If you want to add, like the Rambam writes, that's a different story. She should have told the serpent. Kodesh Baruch Hu says you can't eat because it will kill. I won't even go close to it because I'm so afraid of it. See, that might be different. Or I won't go close to it because maybe I'll come to eat from it. It's a different story. But kol imre selekai tzrufa mogin hu lachaisim boi. The words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are the ultimate of purity, refinement, like pure gold that has been purified 70 times. Mogin hu lachaisim boi, and therefore it's a shield for those who take refuge in it. Al teisiv al dvorav, therefore do not add to his words, either quantity or to his reasoning. To the reasonings, pen yichiat bocha, v'nichsofto. And you will be caught falsifying the Torah. Actually, this type of reasoning was the pillar of the Reform movement. in Germany and then spread to what? Oh, it must be, I'm sure it was well over 100 years ago, maybe 150, but no, it was longer, probably 150, almost 200 years ago. What did they base? They couldn't just leave all of a sudden. There was Torah Judaism, and then all of a sudden they just walked away from it. They built it on this pillar. They started to falsify the reasons of the Torah. And from there they built all kind of false halachas. For example, they said that the reason why the Torah said that you're not allowed to eat pig or other such animals, because they carry disease. And that was in the days when they didn't have modern technology. But later on came better technology on how to take care of meat, how to watch it, and so forth. So now we are allowed to. Or in later years, it was in America and other places, the reform and the conservative, on what basis did they permit driving to shul? Because they said that the purpose of Shabbos was to rest. They didn't have cars in those days. But when you have cars, so you can rest better with cars than walking. So therefore, one would be permitted. So by starting with falsifying and adding and misinterpreting reasons of the Torah, from there they followed their logic to build all types of halachas. And they became the reform movement, which started to reform the mitzvahs of the Torah. See, so actually what we're saying here is not something that's new. One of the Talmidim, I forgot just who it was, showed me in my Rebbe's Sefer, Pirkei Torah, or Gifter, where he writes, he says that people who are Esek and Meleches HaKiruv, those people today who work in Kiruv, he says they have the tendency to do this, and they must be very careful. They have the tendency, in order to woo people to Yiddishkeit, they give them all type of superficial reasons of the mitzvahs. See? They say, look, this is why the Torah said this, and this is why the Torah said this, and if you do this, and this will be good for you, and if you do this, this will come to you, and so forth and so on. You'll have mazel, you'll have brocha, you'll have panosa, whatever. He says you have to be very, very careful of that for two reasons. First of all, it's a falsification of the Torah. See, like we're speaking here. These are not the reasons. If the Torah gave the reasons, then there's the reason. If the Torah didn't, so heaven forbid to say this is the reason of the Torah. It is true that there are certain Sforim for the Rishonim that give reasons, but they themselves say that heaven forbid to say this is the reasons of the Torah. They're only giving what they call taimim hadvorim, to give it a little taste, they say. But heaven forbid to think this is the ultimate in the reasons of the Torah. So he says, firstly, you're falsifying the Torah by giving such taimim chitzenim, superficial reasons and so forth. But secondly, the ultimate will be you'll drive away these people from Torah. Because when they come close to Torah and they start doing the mitzvahs, they'll see that such and such things do not necessarily happen to them as you have promised them. So he says, this is not the way to be makar of people to Torah. We have to do mitzvahs because kach tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. We have to labor to understand exactly what he commanded. And this is what we have to do, these mitzvahs. The safe, the ultimate, will be good for us. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised, he gave us the Torah letevlonu for our ultimate good. But just how that ultimate good, how and when that ultimate good will manifest itself, that's his asset, that's his business, not ours. So at any rate, this is what we can learn from here, which are greatly mudim. Let's go to another point. The serpent said, now, he says, you will not die. And then he gave his reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you not to eat. He said, because he knows that when you eat, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God himself, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu ate from this tree and that's how he created the world and so forth and so on. Vatera ha'isha. So the woman saw, ki teiv ha'etz lemachol, that the tree was good to eat. B'chisavahu le'inayim. And it was beautiful to look at, desirable to look at. The Nechmoda ate Lahaskil, and it was also desirable Lahaskil. Lahaskil means for wisdom. Vatikach mipirya vateichal, she took from the fruit and she ate. Vatiten gamli isha imo vayechal, and she gave also to her husband to eat. Rashi says the reason why she gave also to her husband to eat is because she said shaleitomosi viyichyahu viyisacheres. She didn't want to take the chance that in case she would die, but he's still alive, and then he would marry someone else. So she gave also to him to eat. But what is the Torah? The Torah is giving us quite a description of this tree. A lengthy description. What is this lengthy description? So the Midrash says as follows. In Yutes Zayin, Rabbi Yosi bar Zimra Omar, Gimel Dvorim Nemru Ba'Esa Ilun. Three things the Torah told us about this tree. Tov Lemachol. See, first it says, "Vatera isha ki tova eitz lamachol." The tree is good to eat. Yofel einayim, it's very beautiful to the eyes. That's where it says, "V'chisavuhu leinayim." Meisiv chokma, adds wisdom. That's where it says, "V'nechmara eitz lahaskil." And all of these three things are said in one pasuk, and then it explains what we just said. So this tree had three great milas, three great attributes. It was teva etz lamachel, it was good to eat, it was desirable and beautiful to the eyes, and it would give one wisdom. Nechmaro eitz lahaskil. And therefore she took the fruit and she ate it. Now what are we speaking about here? The Maral in Masechta Ovis explains this. He brings this in Masechta Ovis in Perek Dalet Chof Beis and the Mishnah Reb Lezer HaKof Eimer Akina Vatayvi Vakovet. Explains as follows. We have a Mishnah novice that says, Bishleshik Sorim, Nikhtari Yisrael. Klal Yisrael were given three crowns. Keser Torah, the crown of Torah. Keser Malchus, the crown of kingship. And Keser Kuhuna, the crown of priesthood. This is what was given to Klal Yisrael. Man has three parts to him. He has a seichel. He has intelligence, his intellect. He has what he calls a nefesh, a living life in him. And just like the intellect and the intelligence is in its sources in the brain, the nefesh, the life in him, they're the sources in the lave, the heart. And that's his, all of his emotions come from there. Love, hate, anger, appeasement, forgiveness, revenge, jealousy, and so forth. Then there's a third part of man, and that's the goof. That's his physical makeup. The three ksorim, the three crowns that were given to Klal Yisrael, these were given to Yisrael as a nation, and through them they can perfect all three aspects of the human being and then come to be the ultimate in the perfection of man, the Adam HaSholem, the Bria HaNifchar, the ultimate in the creation of the world. How? Keser Torah, the crown of Torah, will help a person come to the perfection of the seichel, of the intelligence, of the intellect, of the spirit in man. Keser Kuhuna, Keser Malchus, the crown of kingship, correlates with the nefesh and the lave of the Adam. The king is always referred to as the lev. For example, there are psukim that says lev malochim biyad Hashem. The Rambam writes, he says that the Torah said a king is not allowed to take too many wives. He's not allowed to take too much of this, too much of that. Pen yosu levomoy, lest they will turn his heart. So he asked the question, well, why only the king? Anyone then? Anyone should be not allowed to take too many wives or too many of this or that, lest it turns his heart? He says, no. He says, if an individual's heart is turned, it affects an individual. But hamelech libay shel ha'amhu, the king is the heart of the nation. And if his heart is turned, it will turn the whole nation. Why is the king the heart of the nation? So the Maral explains. Because what drives the person? It's the heart. What is the strongest aspect of the person? It's not the intelligence, and it's not the goof, it's not the physical person. It's the emotions. The mind tells the person what he should do. The emotions tell the person what he wants to do. He's supposed to listen to his mind. But the greatest force in him are the emotions. Person gets angry, well, his mind tells him not to get angry, but meanwhile he's getting angry. See, a person envies, his mind tells him he shouldn't envy, but meanwhile he's envying. A person hates, his mind will tell him it's not right, meanwhile he's hating. So he can overcome it, but only with enormous work. But by itself, though, the heart drives the person. And who drives the nation? The king drives the nation. That's why the king is known as the Lev Shalom. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Malchus, but he gave us Malchus, the perfection of Malchus, this gave to Klal Yisrael the perfection of their heart, the perfection of all of the emotions. And then there was Keser Kuhuna. Now Keser Kuhuna is Kedusha, the sanctity, that's the sanctity of the body. We find that a Kohen doesn't become a Kohen by achieving something. A Kohen becomes a Kohen merely through birth, by being born to a Kohen, through physical birth. And we find by a Kohen, he is known to have Kedushas Haguf, sanctity, physical sanctity. The fact is, there's certain people that he can't marry. His physical unions have to be different. And we see also Mumim Pasol, Mumi Haguf. He's the only one, basically, that a blemish, a physical blemish, disqualifies him. We don't see a physical blemish disqualifies a Talmud Chochem. The Chatchila, in the first instance, you're supposed to look for a prophet, but that's the difference, but it doesn't disqualify him. Physical blemish wouldn't disqualify a king. A Kohen, the whole parsha in the Torah, certain physical blemishes will disqualify him as a Kohen, because the Kohen represents the sanctity of the physical person. And through our Kohuna, Klal Yisrael comes to the ultimate in physical Kiddusha, physical sanctity, physical perfection. So these are the three. There is the intellect, the spirit of the person. There's the nefesh, the lev, the heart of the person, the emotions. And then there's the guf, the physical man. And these three together make up Adam, and when he perfects all three of them, then he becomes to what was the Tzelem Elokim, where he was created in the image of the Almighty. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael the three great brochas and the three great crowns of Keser Torah, Keser Malchus, and Keser Kuhuna, Torah, kingship, and Kuhuna, priesthood. What happens if he doesn't labor to perfect them, but rather he lets them run wild? Then they will destroy him, because we're dealing with enormous forces. And that's what Reb Lezer HaKofer said in the Mishnah of his Perek Dalet Mishnah Chof Beis, Hakina v'hatayva v'hakovet Metzines Odom in Oilem. If a person doesn't perfect his heart, and instead in his heart he'll have compassion, he'll have love, forgiveness, and so forth, all of the other good meters of the heart. So what will come from the heart? Kina, hate, envy, and other such emotions of the heart, where he wants what he shouldn't want. So then he'll be makalkal, he'll destroy the perfection of his heart. Taiva is the physical desires. Instead of having the perfection of the sanctity of the body, he'll destroy his body, the perfection of his body. He'll destroy the sanctity of his body when he has physical desires for that above and beyond what the body should have. And kovod, the quest for honor and glory, that the Chazal tell us is actually a spiritual quest. You see, a person wants honor, but honor is something you don't eat, you can't touch. That's actually a spiritual pursuit. And if he wants honor, yesim idai, more than his roi lekach. These three drives that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the person, these three parts of the body, is part and parcel of the Tzelem Elokim. He has to have them. He has to have a quest for some honor. He has to have a quest for some physical desires and for some emotions of the heart. The Rambam writes, if not, he'll be kemes. He's like a dead person. He won't even go after what he needs. See, it's like you see hermits that are not even interested in dressing up. They're not interested in getting married, not interested in having a home and so forth. But if it goes out of control, so then it'll come and be makalko the mind of the person. By COVID it says COVID chachomim yincholo. Honor, that is something which is worthy for the wise. Neged zekenov COVID. You should honor the wise. Or it says meseva tokum vehadar to pnei zoken. Stand up for the wise, stand up for the sages, and so forth and so on. There is worthy the honor. See, from here we see that honor is a pursuit that goes hand in hand in the stratum of the seichel, of the intellect. So if this goes out of control, then the Blazer HaKofer says that Hakina v'hataiva v'hakoved, jealousy and envy, an over amount of physical desires, an over amount proportion of pursuit of honor and glory, mitzines odom in ailam, drive a person from the world, it'll drive him to his death. You see that? You see people who become entirely obsessed with these things, and they burn themselves up. Now Ral says as follows. He says this tree possessed all of this. It said on the tree, Tov ha'etz lemachul, v'tero isha. She looked at it and she saw that it was Tov ha'etz lemachul. It was good to eat. So it had a great lure and magnetism to the desire, to the physical desires of the body, to eat. It was a delicious fruit. Then it states, Tavihi Lainayim. It was a desire to the eyes. Medrash says, Yofe Lainayim. It was full of beauty, the fruit. Now, the eyes are connected to the heart. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Chof Ches Beis, Riyah is Tolei Beleva Adam. The eyes have a direct connection to the heart. And that we see, because it states in the Torah, Leisosura acharei levavchem v'acharei nechem. Do not be drawn after your heart or after your eyes. The Chazal tell us the eyes are like the maraglim of the heart. The heart sends out spies to spy out the land. And what are the spies? Who are the spies of the heart? Those are the person's two eyes. Ve'inayim roya v'halev chemed. The eyes see and the heart desires. So that's why a person has to be very, very careful with what he sees, because it's communicated immediately to the emotions of the heart. That's why there's a medrash we brought it many times. Yesh ria latev, yesh ria lara. We find many times that by the rishoyim they saw, and it brought them to the greatest destructions. It says Bayar Homan. Homan saw that Mordechai wouldn't bow to him. What does it say next? He thought up in his mind a plot how Lahashmi Laharig Labid is called Yudim, how they destroy the entire nation of Israel. We just had where it says Vayar Avraham saw three travelers. So this is by the Tzaddikim. What did it bring? He ran to take them in, he brought them in, he took care of them in the best possible way. And the Gemara brings from here was Klal Yisrael was Zeicha to one thing after the other after the other. So therefore a person has to be very, very careful in his Riya, because that communicates directly to the heart. So Tavahu Leinayim, it was desirable to the eyes. It was drawing the heart. So the tree was drawing the desires of the body. It was drawing the desires of the heart. And it was precious to the seichel. It carried wisdom in it. So therefore it was drawing the mind. So these are all the three parts which make up the human being. The tree possessed all of them. Now the Maharal writes, this is why Chava and Adam had such failed in this task, and they could not prevail over themselves not to eat. He says, had there only been one attribute in the tree, or even two, they would have been able to be successful to abstain, to move back. Because it would have drawn one part of the human being to it, or two parts of the human being, but the third part that wouldn't be drawn to it would fight against it, and then the person could prevail and control himself. But here the tree had all of these attributes, and therefore it was an enormous pull kiteva eitz lamachal, to the physical desires of the person, v'kisavu leinayim, and to the beauty pulled the eyes and the heart, and nechmar eitz lahaskel, and the wisdom that was in it. They saw wisdom in it, which pulled the mind intelligence to it. You see, some people are attracted to wisdom and not to other things. They're not so attuned to other things. Other people are attracted more to physical desires. Others are more to emotional desires. This was pulling. It pulled kol ha'odom kula, the entire person. And therefore, they failed in this task because the draw was so great. So this is why the Torah itemizes to us what this tree was. These are a few notes on this episode. Mirz Hashem, we'll try to continue next week, and we'll go further into this that they ate from this tree, the tree of Eitz Hadas Yodea Tovara.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.